Welcome to this week's edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, the head coach of the Falcons here in our first half hour. And then Philip Wheeler, who's been on this roster about 3 weeks, will join us in our player spotlight coming up at the bottom of the hour. No two ways to paint it, Coach. That's a hard day yesterday.
That was a hard day, and the opportunity was there for us. And so for us not to capitalize, frustrating, challenging. And so when those times happen, it's really hard.
I think the old great coach George Allen said one time, he says, when you lose, you die a little bit inside. You don't, not all of you, maybe just your liver or something like that. I think it's what he's – and it's true, though. I mean, you put so much in during the week to get ready to play that you leave it out there, don't you?
Yeah, and we have such – I mean, just some hard-nosed, tough-as-could-be competitors who are just absolutely going for it. So it was really challenging for us, and not to have it go our way, certainly with getting the turnover margin like we want it and having the penalties come down. So for us not to come away with it was really hard for us.
Everywhere but the scoreboard, right?
Yep.
I mean, is that pretty much the way? I mean, you look at tape, you break down distance scenarios, decisions you had to make during the course of the game, all those things. You feel like, okay, we're doing the things we need to do except right there.
Yes, and I think third downs are where, you know, that's another factor that both sides, that part we could for sure get better at. And the good news is we'll have this bye, and then we come back. We're going to let it rip, and we've got some guys who are absolutely ready to go. We'll be dealing with injuries coming back, and as we're getting right back into it, it's like it starts again.
I kept thinking about the injury issue, and obviously it's part of every team. Obviously the 49ers were laden with injuries going into this game. But you were unable to run the football with the effectiveness you had in the first 8 weeks of the season. And I wondered if Mike Person and his inability maybe not to move as well as he'd like, and you don't have any excuses, but do you feel like that kind of mends itself maybe in 2 weeks as far as him being really healthy?
You know, for us not to run, that was just a total outlier for us. And it's such an important part of what we do. It sets up the play action, the keepers that go with it, the shots we want to take down the field. So for us not to have the runs and free getting going, and they even have some TFLs there, you know, that were hard. So when that part of our game isn't, you know, just clicking like everything else, it makes it harder for sure.
Well, that first down, the first down scenario, and I'm sure you guys chart it, but we were kind of keeping a chart.
Yeah.
And I know how much you guys want to have success on first down to be able to dictate at that point on offense.
Yep.
And really that first down success wasn't there for you.
Yeah, and usually the completion percentage, you know, was high in the pass game, but not in the run game. And for us to be at our best, that balance is there.
Interesting, too, this game never got up to speed, it felt like, in terms of what you want to do, really, both sides.
Yep.
You were almost having to play at their tempo most of the day. Is that?
It did feel that way in terms of where, you know, because there wasn't there was a big play at the end of the half in the 2 minute, but it wasn't where these big explosive plays were taking place. It was kind of going back and forth. It was good for us to get the score at the end of the half. That was a big one with a big, throw from Matt to Julio and then, of course, the touchdown to Free. So, it was just hard. You know, we didn't capitalize on the opportunities that we had, and that's the hard lesson that we take from it.
Kind of a screwy look from the 49ers, and I know it's something that you've seen through the years that staff's been there, but the walking around the line of scrimmage, trying to determine who the four are that are coming, finding the mic, getting him called out, looked like it might have caused some issues as far as getting some free rushers at
Ryan. I think each team has their own unique way of how they want to, style and go into play. Is somebody going to want to try and say, okay, we're going to stay on top of Julio no matter what, and how do we deal with Free? So, they did have some walk-arounds and the identification and the counts of who goes where. We have a plan for that. And at the end of it, just our third downs, some of them were longer, and that makes it harder too.
Did it surprise, or was it something maybe that was not a tendency of theirs through the first handful of ball games? Seemingly, Dave and I were talking about they had five guys coming almost – it felt like almost every play, particularly in a passing situation.
They did some five, and they also did some four where a nickel was a rusher.
There you go, right.
And then so we call those replacement zones. So they're still playing four under three deep, but bringing a DB or bringing a linebacker and dropping one of the outside backers. So not uncommon to other teams that are doing it. So as it came in, some of the plays would look like a hot throw where you throw it and they were able to get the catch. But as it went through our execution, it's got to be the first thing that comes to mind to say, okay, how can we handle – scenarios better, situations better, so we're not in second and 13s and 14s and TFLs.
Well, you've had a lot of questions today, and I know that one of the questions, whenever a team, and I try to explain this to my friends, when that up-tempo scenario, especially when you're in a two-minute style of offense, defense has changed their personality in that scenario as well. So to gauge, okay, up-tempo, that's the way it's going to look the entire game, that's a little bit fake in interpreting that way. Would that be correct?
I think that would be correct only because you have to be able to play defense too. And so sometimes if you would want to play in a really fast style and maybe you had two or three plays and you could be out in 18 seconds. You know, those are the ones that you want to avoid. But the no-huddle part of our package is still alive. It doesn't have to be just in a two-minute. Just so happens that we're really good at that as well. So the no-huddle part, that's something that we'll feature, you know, moving forward as well. But, you know, I've always had great confidence in our guys in the two-minute situations, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I know you've got this bye week, and it's an interesting time because you can kind of go back and look at what you've done and also look at what's ahead. How much of this last three, four ball games will come into that review or that analysis going forward as opposed to maybe the first five ball games?
It'll really be the whole thing.
Okay.
And we're not going to separate just to this instance or that instance. I think the whole, you know, the offense hadn't changed, so mm-hmm. let's make sure the defense hadn't changed. Let's look at the things that we do best. How do we feature those? And let's make sure when we come back we're able to, you know, put the pieces in the right spots for the guys to do their thing.
Dan, the third phase of the game was really effective for you yesterday.
Yes.
You did a good job covering kicks, did a great job of returning kicks yesterday.
And what a great job, I thought, by Eric Weems.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions we always ask, who's going to be the one to set it off? And he was the one for sure, the punt return, the kick return. And then the fact that that unit, you know, and the blocking, you know, it's not by Eric alone. So for those guys to stay and put the extra work in, and Arch, I know you've seen the guys
Absolutely.
After practice putting the time in. So it's really rewarding to see when the extra work that you're doing pays off. I think it's a real, you know, sign like, okay, the work that I did paid off.
Coach, he had a season-high kick return and a season-high punt return for you yesterday. You talk about setting it off. I mean, he was doing a tremendous job. Both those units were doing tremendous jobs.
And so for us, that's a real sign for us to see the improvement that we're making. We had some new guys coming in. Where are we going to feature them? How we'll play them on the return teams? And I thought, in specifically, that crew did it on both punt return and kick return, did a really good job.
I mean, you talk about the development of this team a little bit. Last week we touched on the fact you had two guys, double-figure catches, 100-yard games. Yesterday, 10, 8, and 6 across the board with Jones, Freeman, and Jacob Tammy in terms of catches, but they were double-figure targets.
Right.
Is there such a thing as balanced passing when this offense evolves a little bit?
I think so, only because some of the reads will take you to a certain spot. And in this offense, really, you know, you have to defend the whole field. Mm. The deep shots, the underneath throws, the three-level routes, those are the things that, you know, present the most challenges. So,
right.
There may be some certain coverage that may go more to one route than another.
I guess that leads you into some of the vernacular. I think the fan hears, and maybe they don't necessarily grasp the entire concept. I'm going to throw one at you that I know you do, and that's self-scout. Now that you've got a little bit of a week here, a little buffer, what does that entail, and what will you be looking at?
Sure. I think it goes both ways. And one of the challenges we issued to the players, 4 months ago, is your game at where you expected it to be right now? And if it is, what's the reasons behind it and the work that you're doing? And if it's not, let's make sure after this bye, let's find the things that you want to improve at, and we do that. As you know here, we're always trying to keep pushing it to get better and better. So that was the challenge for the players. And then from the coach's side, let's go back and look at the things that we're doing really well. Mm-hmm. Let's find the things that we need to improve on. And then now we start this second half focusing on the things we can get better at.
Yeah, because you've talked almost from the top. Let's have our best preseason. Let's have our best regular season, best OTAs, what have you. Does it break itself back down to best first half? Pretty good start now. I mean, given what you were dealing with at the start, now your best second half, right?
I think that's a good point because as we're going back into it, that is going to be the challenge. It's funny that you brought that up, but that is going to be the challenge, saying, all right, when we come back and you have the best second half that you had. And they need the rest. All players are dealing with some injuries and things this time. So there is an advantage to having it late. You know, it can be challenging to get to it. But then once you're there, okay, now let's ready to go rip it again.
Dan, the decision-making that you have to make in a game or started all the way back when you took the job, okay, all the decision-making of putting people in place, staff, all these kind of things that happen. Sometimes people don't think about all the decisions you've had to make. It all comes down to one decision. How much of that you learn from all your decisions?
No doubt.
And it's all part of a learning process, too. This is your first opportunity to go through this.
I just want to make the best decisions for the team and be really decisive. And then once I have all the information, I want to take it. I'm not going to look back and say, all right, this is what I thought was best at the exact time, you know, for the team. And so that's why I always try to keep that in mind, whether it's staff or players or rosters or decisions with Thomas or game management.
Sure.
What's the best thing for the team? And I'm always going to try to make those decisions. I'm going to be really decisive. And it's easy to have hindsight and look back.
Sure.
But at the moment, I'm always going to do what's best for it. And whatever I think's best, that's what I'm going with.
Well, yesterday, as you noted earlier, Coach, the run game kind of got hemmed up a little bit for the first time. In retrospect, from looking at the tape, they do anything in particular you hadn't seen?
We didn't think so. And as we went through, we thought here a breakdown, this block. So it wasn't necessarily one specific thing that caused us to not have the success that we're accustomed to.
All right. Real quick before we get to our first break, we've always got our BMW question of the week for Coach Quinn, brought to you by United BMW Selection Incredible Service, the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW in Gwinnett or Roswell or online right now, Arch, 24/7, unitedbmw.com.
24/7.
24/7.
That's how hard this guy works to
be. That's even in the bye week. In fact, Trey in Midtown, what is the team's focus? What did you leave them with in your meetings today headed to the bye?
For the players, it was kind of, you know, two messages. One, individually, where are you at with your game?
Sure.
And what are the things that, you know, when you're done this that you want to get better at? Two, you know, when we do get back, we've got some great competitors. And so that bond for these guys that they have for one another is really strong. And let's make sure when we come back, our mindset collectively, we're ready to let it rip. And for the staff, the important part now is let's make sure we have a really good evaluation, the self-evaluation, which sometimes can be the hardest. How are the things that we're doing well? What can we do to improve? And ultimately, it's all about the guys. You know, how can we find creative ways, you know, whether it's a drill to help them get better, if there's something that we can do to help the players perform at their best, we're going to find it.
I said this going to break. One of the more unique twists, you're on a bye, the team you're playing off the bye is also on the bye.
Yeah, that has to be very unique.
Yeah. And I don't recall ever having that in this particular scenario.
Well, it has to have had, but,
sure,
but I don't
sure
remember.
Yes, yeah. I can't either. And really in the bye, you know, it's about us.
Sure.
And can we get ourselves exactly aligned like we love to play ball? And so that'll be the real challenge this week. Can't replay the ones we had, and we can't pre-play the ones we haven't come up yet. So it's right back to the present moment of how good can we get, and that'll be the focus right when we get back in town.
Okay, Dan, what happens for you in this bye week? Because there is the scenario that you got to recharge your battery too.
Sure.
You've been going full go since you got here. I mean, traveling, seeing players, trying to put this team together, and now really blowing and going, trying to put a really good team on the field each and every week. So battery recharger for you, what will you do? What do you do in this scenario?
The first thing we'll get through tonight and make sure we have the evaluations of the guys of, you know, all the things that we can do to get them better. And then you're right, you know, for us to be at our best and be creative for the guys to make sure we know exactly how to help them, then it's our time to get that rest and that break too. So fortunate for us, it comes at a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody needs it. And so we'll come back over the next Monday and we'll get right back into it with practice.
Will you watch any football at all, or you just kind of get away from the game for a few minutes? Because I know you eat, drink, and sleep the game,
right.
So I'm not sure you can do that.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to do that. So, but, you know, we do have a process that we go through that we like. That's for training camp. That's for in-season. That's for how we do the bye week. That's for how we do the regular season, how we're going to go the playoffs all the way through. And the bye is part of that process. And for the guys, it's take this little break mentally to get back and freshen up, and then right, we're back to it. Let's hit it again.
Now, I know you've got guys around you that are like you, that eat, drink, and sleep the game. Are you going to kick somebody's butt if they're looking at some tape or something like that?
Yes.
Go relax and have a beer and don't watch
any
football.
Yeah, I don't say about don't watch any football, but it may be the case where, yeah, definitely the guys here, we've had, you know, 13 in a row too.
Sure.
And so, you know, counting the preseason games, you can say they don't count, but, you know, they count. We're there. We had a plan.
Yeah.
And everybody's competing hard. So it actually comes at a good time, and we'll be ready.
It's interesting, too, and I was thinking about this earlier today because of the bond and the connection that you and Thomas had from the personnel side. There may be a time to get away from one side of the house a little bit and maybe focus on the other side a little bit, right?
Well, for him, you know.
Or for you, I guess.
Yeah, for me, he's had, you know, that part of it going and the evaluations of players all the way through where I haven't. And so he keeps me up to date, and sometimes this past weekend the scouts got together out in San Francisco. So those are the meetings they have, you know, a couple times a year during the season.
Sure.
And this happened to be one of those weekends. So he keeps me updated on the coming up with the college guys that are coming up in the draft.
A lot was made yesterday of three of your veteran players sitting down to one another and talking. I think you probably encourage your players to talk to one another. Evidently, there was a big deal about Roddy, Julio, and Matt sitting down and discussing some things.
For the guys who are around the team, they know that would be an everyday summit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it really is. It's not uncommon.
No, and one of the things I most admire about our team is how tight these guys are. And the competitors are there, so they are – just like the coaching staff, trying to find any edge. Okay, what else could we do to help make it better? And that's what a great competitor does. So I'm not surprised that three guys that our team has such great admiration and respect for were huddled up talking about how they can do things better.
In fact, you'd probably be a little concerned if they weren't talking about it, would you?
And the fact that those guys have such a connection, it's awesome, man. And that's one of the things about being in a locker room. And until you're there, you wouldn't fully appreciate how tight these guys are. They're, in some instances, they're closer than brothers, you know, knowing that, like, they go through it together, and that's certainly the case with those guys.
It was interesting to – and I started thinking about that as we were hearing about it last night and today you've been on some really good teams and with some incredible teams. The communicative trait of those teams, 2 years ago, the Super Bowl team, seemed to be a team that was always locked in.
Yep.
From that perspective. Where along the line in your coaching career did you say, okay, that's really got to be a big piece of what we're going to be? Maybe it was your own teams as you played on.
I think every time you've had it, and this is all true, when the better teams that we've been a part of, there was a bond that made it special. They were so connected. They were willing to, you know, dedicate their effort for one another. And I think any time you can promote that and you see that happening, that's when the good stuff can happen. And it's one of the things on our team, we've got some really good competitors. And now that they're really tight, they just want to do whatever it takes. And so that's why when we go through, like we had yesterday, the really challenging time is confusing and frustrating. And, man, I don't know how this even came from because they're putting so much into it. So it can get out of whack and feel weird because you are putting so much into it.
I asked you last week about Devontae and some of the special things he brings to the table. I'll bring up another one of your big timers in Julio Jones. I think you could talk about him each and every week. 10 catches, 137 yards in the game. Guys draped all over him making catches. Goes over 1,000 yards just in nine games. Just the impact that he's made, it may not just be on the field, it's what he is in the locker room and all that stuff.
It really is. I think it may have came up 2 weeks ago in the Tampa Bay game. There was a, you know, free play. There was it wasn't an interception. Matt threw it. He chased the guy down about 70 yards,
Quan
tackled
Alexander,
the guy, and threw him down almost like not on my watch. And he is a relentless competitor. And one of the great parts about him, he's a relentless competitor. He's also a great teammate. And I think when you have that combination, now you're talking about a special guy. And he brings a lot to our team on the field. He brings a lot to our team in the locker room. And I think that's why everybody has such, you know, high respect and high regard for him.
We named him player of the game yesterday, obviously because of his numbers. But when I asked, when I said, Julio, 10 catches, 137 yards, you went over 1,000 yards. He says, we didn't win the game. And, I mean, he didn't even blink, you know. And so, I mean, that's the guys I want to play with, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why he has such a big impact in our locker room.
When you see what he's doing, and you've seen him on the other side now. I mean, you've tried to scheme against him. What do you say when you now work with that guy? I mean, has your opinion of what you saw when you were wearing that royal blue over there changed when you see him now in this light?
The thing I'd say to him is make him deal with you. And that's the competitor. You know, like, if it's there and he's got people hanging on him, he'll still come up with it. He'll still get it. And it's the way that he attacks. That's what makes him so unique. He doesn't back off ever. And I think those are the things when you're, you know, the first play of the game or the last, your speed, your tempo, your intensity is the same. That's when you're now dictating the tempo to a DB.
Frustration level for you when you've got a plan, it looks like it's going to work, and then one little thing breaks down. And I'm speaking specifically of the way the game played out at the end of the game.
Sure.
You decide to take the field goal. You have timeouts in your pocket. It's going to work perfectly. You're going to get the ball back probably somewhere around your 40, 35-yard line with a timeout in your pocket to boot, and you get one breakdown and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, so that's when it's hard. Yeah, had a really clear vision of how we were going to win the game.
Yeah.
And when that didn't come to fruition on the defensive side, we kicked the field goal. We went stop, and then for the third down, that's where we thought the stop would happen. We had two timeouts and the 2 minutes, so I thought we had plenty of time to execute the plan. So as it turns out, it didn't work. And so I'm going to be really, you know, decisive in how we make decisions for the team all the time. We had two scenarios this year where they were four-minute ops. We had one at the New York Giants, stopped them. We got a touchdown. We had one at the Tampa Bay Bucks, stopped them, had a touchdown. So I had great belief in the defense that they would get the stop. And I had great belief in the offense that they'd go down and execute it. So when it didn't come down like we had planned, that was hard.
Gabbard. And it's intercepted. It was a little bit behind Vance McDonald and Vic Beasley. The defensive lineman and number one draft pick dropped back in coverage and picked it off. Player Spotlight time on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and, of course, the interception by Vic Beasley is our SunTrust shining play of the ball game, his first career interception. Philip Wheeler's still looking for his first career interception, I think. But
yeah.
110 games into his career, and now you get to come back home, signing with the Falcons 3 weeks ago. What's that been like?
Yeah, man, it's like a dream come true, man. I was at Georgia Tech in college, you know, where you were, me and Wes. I used to come down to his office and put his candy on his desk and stuff and eat his candy. And I'm just back at home, man. It's like a dream come true to play, be from Georgia, just down the street, and play college here and then play in the pros here. It's just you can't ask for more.
Well, Philip, a tough one yesterday. You guys played solid at moments defensively yesterday. You had 10 tackles in the game, led the team in tackles. I know it was your first chance to really be out there a lot. Tell us about that and getting out there and understanding what you're doing.
Yeah, I felt a little rusty come, especially in the first couple of quarters, but then I started getting a better feel for the game, you know. First time really in real live action and on the defense like that in a while. So it felt good to get out there, and I'm just looking on ways that I can improve or help the team improve. You said I had I don't know how many tackles I had, but that doesn't matter when you lose. You know, you want to – I was on the plane ride back looking at ways we could have helped – I could have helped do more, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
To win.
You've played – this is your fourth different team in 8 years. Mm-hmm. The systems, I know, do vary. Obviously, 34, 43, all the different alignments, all the different packages. How fast has the learning curve been here for you with what Coach Quinn wants to do and Richard Smith, the defensive coordinator?
I mean, they make it really simple for us guys here, opposed to other places I've been. They let us play fast, you know. It's not a majorly complicated defense.
Right.
Pretty simple ball, and you know, we just get to run and hit, and I think that's the way they designed it, that's the way they wanted to be, so we can be aggressive.
Philip, how difficult is that to blend in? I mean, you know these guys around the league, but a lot of them you don't play with, and all of a sudden here you're on a team. How tough is that to blend in and just come in and do your job?
It ain't really tough at all, because I know some of these guys. I've been in the league eight years. I know Matt Ryan. I trained with him in API coming out. You know, he got drafted the same year I got drafted. I played with Paul Soliai in Miami for I think a year or two. Yeah, 2 years, I think. No, a year. And I played with a couple of these other guys just throughout the league. Phillip Adams, I played with him in Oakland. So, you know, being a older journeyman, you know, you play with a lot of guys, and it's hard to blend in. You get used to it.
You had four really good years to start your career in Indianapolis. 2011, you had 80 tackles, I guess, and then – a year in Oakland where you had over 100 tackles and then a 100-tackle year as well as one of the 2 years in Miami. Mm-hmm. Take me through those experiences and how it helps you here, because obviously, you know, three different teams, three different organizations. You started this season, I guess, with San Francisco, right,
yep,
preseason?
Yep. Yeah, it was, to be honest, man, it's a blessing to be, you know, be able to stick around this long, you know, and you know, the average lifetime span of an NFL football player is like 3 to 4 years. And, you know, I feel blessed. But, you know, I always try to work hard. And starting out early in my career, I was with the Colts. We had a great winning tradition there early with Peyton Manning there. So I was going to the playoffs every year. And I thought, hey, this is just how it is. You know, you win, you go to the playoffs, you go to the Super Bowl, and, you know, you just win. That's all you do. And I kind of got spoiled, and then I went to Oakland, and we didn't win many games at all. And I know I was trying to I was just scrapping, trying to get a win. And I'm like, this ain't how it's supposed to be. And then I went to Miami, a good, talented team, but we didn't have everything together there, coaching staff and football, the players, we just weren't gelling. So I was like, man, I'm out. It was like my sixth or seventh year. I'm like, man, I ain't been to the playoffs since I was in Indy. And I was like, man, I'm itching for a win. I'm itching for a playoff run or something, just anything. And I go to San Francisco thinking, you know what I'm saying, we're going to ball there. You know, they got a great winning tradition. And then I get hurt and they release me. And then I come here where winning is – the record when I got here was like 6-2 or 6-1, I think. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're winning. I'm on a winning team now. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I can help out and see what I can do. And, you know, that's where I'm at now.
Well, and that's where I wanted to go with you next, Philip. You just chronicled your career. Here's a team that got out to a 5-0 start, 6-1. They've lost the last two. When you look at what's happened now with this bye week, what does this team need to do is now that you've been here for a couple of weeks and kind of absorb what this team's all about?
We just got out of meetings, and coaches, they were pretty much telling us, you know, we're still in a good place. We still got a lot of in front of us, but we need to look in the mirror, look at ourselves, see what we can improve individually, and then bring it all collectively to a team effort.
Did you feel like yesterday that I think when you've played against Kaepernick, I mean, a lot of people have seen Kaepernick play. He wasn't playing. Was there a sense to relax a little bit knowing that Kaepernick wasn't running around there? Because Gabbert moved around pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, no, I think we – first of all, we never relax anyway. That's just something we don't do. You know, we gotta pay attention to whoever's back there at quarterback. And I think Gabbert, he's getting a second chance. You know, he started out, they put him in early when he was in Jacksonville. I played against him a couple of times. He didn't look too good early, but I think he's learning the game better. And he did okay against us. They got the win. You know, hats off to them.
You're a veteran guy now in this league. Every team's different. What is it about this team? And I know you're excited to be a part of a team, particularly near your hometown because you played high school ball in Columbus. But what is it about this team that you feel like, okay, I can help these guys? Because we saw you on teams yesterday. You're playing, obviously, started the ball game for Durant.
Yeah, it's just the mind frame here, man. It's a total different mind frame from everywhere I've been. Even though we were winning in Indy early in my career, I was like, it wasn't the same mind frame. It's just this mind frame here is – you know, we balling out for each other. It's championship competition every day, you know what I'm saying? So every day you're getting better. You know, you're not relaxing on Thursday or Friday, you know what I'm saying? We're still competing every day, and that carries over to the field.
You know, it's interesting. We've had the conversation, how many times did you and I talked in the last, three or four years about, you know, maybe I'll end up in Atlanta. Yeah. Maybe you'll get that chance. You had to love it when you got the phone call, right?
Yeah, man, it was amazing, man. I was in I had a visit with New York. It didn't work out, and then the next week, I was at home. I actually had just bought some new groceries. You know what I'm saying? And I was in Miami and just chilling, you know, working out a little bit, you know. Hoping I get a call, and then I have my friends and family. You sure somebody going to call you? Is anybody going to call you? Think it's time to hang it up? I'm like, no, man, I still can play, you know. They didn't believe me, you know. And I'm like, man, so I get the call, and I got brand-new groceries. So they in the refrigerator spoiling. I think I had a potato in the oven. I had to turn it off, you know. I'm like, I got to get a flight, you know. I got to wait till they send me my flight information. So I got – when I this bye, I might go home, try to get some clothes and stuff because I just brought –
see how much of the food you can use.
Yeah, I brought a suitcase, and that's it since my my workout. And that's all I've had up here, just a small suitcase with a few clothes in it. So
Falcons linebacker Philip Wheeler with us here on the player spotlight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Philip, 10 tackles yesterday. Obviously, you told whoever said, do you think it's time to hang it up? They need to look at the stat sheet because you were all over the field. Talk me through what we kind of watched on the replay was the hit on the quarterback. It looked like you'd gotten your head to the side. What was the interpretation? Did they give you anything? They said it was a helmet-to-helmet blow on Gabbert. It looked like a pretty clean hit from our perspective.
Yeah, I try not to argue with the refs, you know, in situations like that. I think it was a clean hit, but they said it wasn't, so I got to do better. I got to do whatever I can do because that's not good in any way, shape, or form to give up those yards for my team, you know, and I'm disappointed in that part, you know.
I tend to argue a lot with the referees. That's kind of what I do. I argue with most of what they say. The system, Wes was talking about the system. You like the system. It seems to be a system that would fit your style perfectly. Run, hit, physical, run around the field. Those are all the skill set that you brought to the league back when you came in, and this seems to fit you perfectly here in this part of your career.
Yeah, I think so, man. I just – whatever I can do to help this team, first of all, and then if accolades come with it or tackles come with it, that's fine. But first and foremost is what I can do to help this team and learn the defense and make plays to – help us not lose like we did last week.
You know, it's interesting. You're here at a time where we're talking about you playing for a different group of teams. There are several guys like you. I mean, Schofield's played for a couple different teams. Mm-hmm. Phillip Adams, who you mentioned earlier, has played for some different squads. I mean, there's an interesting dynamic here. It's one of the things Dave and I have talked about since the start of the season. Young guys, kind of middle-of-the-career guys, and then maybe a handful of older guys. Mm-hmm. interesting in terms of chemistry. Have you sensed that even in the three weeks you've been here?
And even Coach Quinn talks about it, man. He's looking for guys with chips on their shoulders and, you know, people who, you know, are true competitors, you know, and that's what he talks about every day. And I feel like that's what those are the type of guys he's bringing in here.
You follow the alma mater at all? You watch it?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be their year now, Phil. You realize that.
Too many injuries, right, Phil?
No, I ain't going to give no excuses. But I'm very happy for that win over Georgia Tech. Over Florida State. We kind of ruined their season a little bit.
How did that taste to you last year in late November? Was it late November when they went into Athens and got that done?
Yeah.
That tastes pretty good?
No.
You guys beat him, but I'm talking about last year when they went.
It was on that field goal, right?
Tied it in overtime. Yeah, they tied it.
Yeah. So did Georgia miss the field goal to win?
No, Tech hit a 53-yard.
Long field goal. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That was exciting, man. It was very exciting.
Well, it's great to have you here in Atlanta. I know it means a lot for you to have come the chance to come back and play.
Absolutely.
Here, right?
Yeah. It means the world to me, man. I got a family here and.
What'd you tell us? You're staying with your mom?
Yeah, I'm staying with my mom right now, you know what I'm saying, until
okay,
I find a spot. But it's like it's more than just for me right now, you know what I'm saying? I'm not playing for myself right now. I'm not playing for just no money right now. I'm just, you know, I'm playing for my whole city, my hometown, my family, you know, and just we got to get it, man.
Keep flying around, man.
Thanks, man.